content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 17th through Sunday, July 23rd, 2023. The commentary for the month of July was written by Manelis Tamayo Megret, who was born in Guantanamo, Cuba. She teaches literature and edits the magazine Luz in Holguin University. In 2013, she joined the Episcopal Church, where she teaches catechism and serves as diocesan secretary for the Episcopal Church. The commentary for Monday, July 17th, begins with a passage from the Psalm 25, verse 20. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for my hope has been in you. Here's the commentary. The person who influenced me the most is my maternal grandfather, Raul. Raul was a poor, humble Cuban man. His father was a French immigrant. His mother was a native blended race woman, a Roman Catholic who taught solid values to her children. Grandpa harvested sugarcane off season. He played the maracas in a music band. He was a man of infinite compassion who never hurt anyone. Everyone talked about his kindness because at one time or another he had helped everyone he knew. When he departed to be with the Lord, I was a little girl, but I remember that his passing was the cause of great sorrow. I saw family, friends, and the whole town mourn. God rewarded Grandpa Raul according to his integrity. The sincere love of those around him bore good fruit. I am certain that the first time I felt the love of God, it was through Grandpa's eyes. And now I'm going to read from the entire verse of Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 17th, what are the family stories that you would like to pass on to your children, nieces, or nephews? Make a plan to record them. Make copies and keep the originals, along with old photographs, in a safe place. The commentary for Tuesday, July 18th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Maria is an older woman who helped found our congregation, St. Mark's Episcopal Church. As there was no Episcopal building in our region, she offered her home, which served as our temple for 15 years. Her contagious faith has reached all our members. She has often borne testimony of how much God worked in her life. Today, her health is failing. Her weight loss makes her look very frail. Yet she has overcome several deadly diseases. At a time when we feared for her health, she managed to beat dengue fever and a heart attack. Although she is now fighting another difficult battle, her faith, her prayers, and her submission to God do not waver. Jesus saw the faith of the paralytic man and of those who came with him. More than forgiving his sins, Jesus raised the man from his bed and told him to walk. Similarly, Maria's faith, along with that of those who love her, is receiving its reward. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from the Gospel of Mark today, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, have you experienced strength and healing through prayer in times of sickness? How do you think this happens? The commentary for Wednesday, July 19th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." I was chatting with some colleagues. One of them said something rude, got up, and left. Another colleague, who is a Christian, looked at me and said dismissively, "Oh, well, she is worldly, and you know what those people are like." A third colleague intervened, "Why do you say that? I, too, am what you call worldly. I am also one of those people. If that's what your people are like, I don't want to be around you or your people who judge others. I felt the third colleague was right. We Christians do not live in a shimmering bubble. We live in the world. We are part of it. If God looked on us with love when we were lost, then we should also look with the same love on those who do not know God. We should not turn our backs on them or look down on them, even when I refrain myself from putting rude words in my mouth. The truth is that they are often still in my heart. Am I any better? And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Mark. And this is chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." And the moving forward question for this day, have there been times when church members made you feel judged? How did you resolve those feelings? And the commentary for Thursday, July 20th, begins with a verse from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 9 through 10. "But Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?'" Here's the commentary. "About a year ago, a false prophet was exposed in a neighborhood of my city. One would think this only happened in the old days, but sometimes ignorance leads people to be deceived rather than finding real communion with the Holy Spirit. This liar said he was the new Messiah, and people believed him. He said God had told him in a dream that a local 14-year-old girl should be his wife, and people believed him. He said that, since he was the only chosen one, he should have made no male heirs. As he started to have children with his young wife, they kept the girls but abandoned the boys. He was eventually denounced and jailed, yet his evil acts were devastating. The Holy Spirit can dwell in us and help us distinguish between righteousness and villainy. It can help us reject and denounce villainy and embrace love and follow righteousness." And now I'll read the full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out of the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John also to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island, as far as Paphos, they met a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man who summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. But the magician, Elymas, for that is the translation of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now listen, the hand of the Lord is against you, and you will be blind for a while, unable to see the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he went about groping for someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. And the moving forward statement and suggestion for this day is, pray about three things for which you need guidance. Now we turn to the commentary for Friday, July 21st. It begins with a passage from the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 21, verse 11. The servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands." For good or for bad, our fame precedes us. When I was in college, a professor known for his severity asked one of my schoolmates a question about an author whose poetic work we had not covered in class. I was the only other person to notice. I felt it was an unfair question and intervened. Otherwise, my friend would have flunked the final. Years later, as I worked in an art school, a colleague in my department told that very anecdote about that very professor. No one there knew I was the one who intervened, although I later told them. Others will remember some of the things we do, and occasionally those actions will come back to our lives. David did not want King Achish to know of his feats because he feared that if the people of Gad knew, they would kill him. Our works are not forgotten. Let's make sure that they are righteous. And now I'm going to read from 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. David came to Nob, to the priest Ahimelech. Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to the priest Ahimelech, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'No one must know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. Now then, what have you at hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here.' The priest answered David, 'I have no ordinary bread at hand, only holy bread, provided that the young men have kept themselves from women.' David answered the priest, "Indeed, women have been kept from us, as always, when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy even when it is a common journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there except the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. David said to Ahimelech, "Is there no spear or sword here with you? I did not bring my sword or my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." The priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is none here except that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." David rose and fled that day from Saul. He went to King Achish of Gath. The servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of King Achish of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them. He pretended to be mad when in their presence. He scratched marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see, the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" And the moving forward question for this Friday, July 21st, how would you like to be remembered? What course corrections would help? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, July 22nd. It's the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 14. "When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus." In tears, Mary Magdalene discovers that Jesus' body is not in the tomb, and she fears it has been taken away. After answering to the angels who ask her why she is crying, she sees a man but doesn't initially realize it is Jesus, her friend and leader. In troubled times, pain blinds us, and we fail to see the Lord's presence. He is next to us, but we cannot see him or hear him. When I taught literature at the university some time ago, the administrators came to evaluate my teaching. The evaluation was quite harsh, so much so that I decided to switch to a different department. It was hard for me, and I felt forsaken by God. However, in the new department, I began my formation as an editor, and that prepared me to do in church what I love the most, writing for others. When our eyes are opened and we understand God's purpose in our lives, we also realize that we are never alone. And now I'm going to read from the full verses here, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabuni,' which means Teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And the moving forward question for this day, Mary Magdalene is one of many prominent women mentioned in Scripture. How many can you list without looking in your Bible? Now we conclude this week's program with a commentary from Sunday, July 23rd, the 8th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. "Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" I believe God continues to speak to us through dreams, not only those we have while asleep, but also through dreams we have when awake. When we acquired the building that would become our church, I took note of the children in the neighborhood and began to think of ways to get them involved in the community. I planned activities with the children and teenagers who were already part of the church. Young passerby saw us, some joined us, and enjoyed themselves. Then the COVID-19 pandemic arrived, and everything came to a stop. As we restarted our meetings, I didn't think those children would come back, but I did keep my dream alive. Then one day they came through the door while we were in the middle of a worship service. We invited them in, they prayed with us, and continue to come. May they stay with us for many years to come. And the moving forward question today, have you ever felt compelled to enter a church you happen to walk by? How can we make our church buildings more welcoming? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflection Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.